Welcome to Everyone's Perspectives
with Josh
and Danny.
All right, welcome to our first episode. Danny, how are you feeling?
So good. I'm so ready.
Same here. So a couple of things. We kind of just want to introduce ourselves while we get started on this podcast journey with everyone. So I have a couple of questions that I want to ask you, Danny. So first and foremost, where did you grow up?
I grew up all over the world. My dad was military, so I lived mostly in South America and Central America and Europe, but I grew up, yeah.
I bet that was super interesting, like as a kid.
It was. And as a kid, I actually didn't like it because I moved like every 3 years. So yeah. I didn't get to make a lot of friends. I felt like I didn't have anyone that knew me really in depth. It was really, you know, but now I look back and I'm like, I was really pretty blessed to have a lot of amazing experiences and relationships around the world. I learned a lot of languages. And
what kind of languages do you know?
I know German, Spanish, and English.
Cool. Way cool. And so you have siblings. How many do you have?
I do. I have seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so you grew up around the world and now currently, where is it that you're living?
I live in the Salt Lake Valley.
Okay.
Yeah. And this has been the best place to raise kids. I love it here. This has been probably my favorite place to live.
And then before that, you were living in Colorado.
Yes. In Colorado with my husband. Yeah.
And then before that, you were also living in Utah.
In
like
Utah.
When you first got married.
Yes, when we first got married, we lived in Utah. Then we moved to Colorado, and now we moved back. And I never thought I would say I love living in Utah, but I do love it.
Yeah.
I love raising my kids here. I love being part of the community that always is, you know, there's always a great feeling of community.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's a special place for sure.
Yeah.
For a good reason. Yes. So you've been with your husband, Josh, who happens to be my name. You can have like this whole thing where I'm Josh Jr. and he's Josh Sr.
Yes.
It's just a funny thing that we do between us and our families. But so you guys have been married for how long now?
26 years.
Long time. But you were married before then.
Yes. Yeah. I was married before for almost 4 years to someone else. And then I went through a divorce and Josh and I met. And my oldest child was 18 months.
And his name is Josh.
And his name is Josh. So there's three Joshes. And so I'm sure everyone thinks I'm doing this podcast with my husband, Josh. It's actually my friend, Josh. Yeah. Then we got married and my husband, Josh, adopted my son. And then we had four more kids. So yeah, we've had a lot going on in 26 years.
Yeah. A lot of great things.
I mean, now we're almost empty nesters, so we just have one at home.
Yeah, because your oldest is
28.
28, and then your youngest is 15.
Yeah, my youngest is 15, and we have two grandkids.
Super fun.
Almost 6-year-old and a 3-month-old, so we are
just
in
starting,
the thick of it.
Just starting that like grandparent transition. So.
Oh, yeah, and it is the best part.
Yeah. So a little other things about you that kind of want people to know. So you did hair for a while when I kind of grew up knowing you. I knew that you did hair a lot.
28 years. Yeah.
So,
which I never thought I would do because I actually did it as part of my high school program.
Yeah.
And then I went on after high school to go to college and I became a medical assistant. I did the 2-year medical assisting program and I thought, oh yeah, this is for sure what I'm going to do in life. And then I started having kids and I realized the hours were just really hectic and crazy with a young family.
Oh,
but I realized I could do hair from home and still have that creative outlet. And
it's flexible.
Yeah. And just be able to have those relationships with adults. You know, when you're spending all day with small children, you kind of feel like your brain is getting
fried.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The interaction, you need that as parents. So it was always something I could do while my kids were taking a nap or whatever. It was super fun for me and mostly just did friends and family hair, but it's something that I really loved. I don't do it anymore. It's too much standing, but but I loved it. So,
well, good stuff.
So let's talk about you now, Josh.
Oh, great.
So, you are living in the Salt Lake Valley as well.
Yes.
But you did not grow up here.
Correct. I actually was born in Layton, Utah, which is north of Salt Lake. It's about, 45 minutes maybe. And I lived in a small little valley called Cache Valley, Utah. And I lived there for a couple of months until my parents got married. I moved to Colorado in that same year. My parents separated. I moved back to Utah until I was like 4 years old. And then I moved to Colorado because my parents got back together.
Then yeah. We met in Colorado.
Exactly. So That's how we met originally. I was about like 6 or 7 years old when we first met.
Yeah. And I was friends with your mom. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we moved back after a while. So then I moved back when I was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
And I've been here ever since.
Yeah. And you met your husband here.
Exactly.
So how long have you guys been married?
So we've been married for about just a year.
You guys are still in the newlywed category.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're newlyweds.
I love that perspective.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, and also there's another thing. My husband is actually like closer in age to you, like by like only a couple of months.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
He's awesome.
Don't worry. I'm going to therapy. I'm getting everything figured out. But yes, I really do enjoy him. He's really supportive and he's really like a great like person in my life. I can't imagine like my world without him. So he's been really wonderful throughout like a lot of like my personal things I've been going through. And so I just really think that he's wonderful.
Yeah, he's amazing.
So
you're very blessed.
Yeah.
So tell me about your career. What do you do and what did you go to school for?
Yeah. So after high school, I went to a tech college and I got a degree in architectural drafting. And I really want to do like interior design, architecture. Like I just love anything that has to do with homes. So that was kind of my passion. And then I kind of started doing some freelance work. I didn't really like it because I don't like taking orders from other people. So I was like, I kind of want to do this, but I want to do it under my own terms. So my thought process was like, okay, well, I need to get into a job where like I can like make enough money where I can start doing my own like property development. So I went into banking. And so I wanted to go into mortgages and stuff. But currently right now where I'm at is I'm a banker. So
I love that.
Just doing that right
now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
It's emotionally demanding for sure, but because people, you know, are very passionate about their money. It's, you know, the way that they live and they function through their
Everybody
life.
Everybody has to have it.
Exactly.
You got to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we came together and decided to do this podcast because we just thought, you know what? We have the best conversations. We have so much fun. We talk about everything. We get along so well.
Truly.
And our perspectives are so different, but we have so much fun talking about everything and we get along so well. We respect each other. Jinx. We respect each other's opinions so much. But we were like, oh my gosh, that would be so fun to do a podcast.
Yeah.
And one day you were just like, we should do a podcast. And I said, I'm down. Let's do it.
What I really am excited to see is who we're going to be taking along on this journey. That's the ultimate thing. Is whoever does listen to this podcast, I just hope that they take away that we can respect each other and understand that everyone has different viewpoints, and that's okay. And that's actually something that we should all be happy about.
100%. I mean, I come from a very religious background. I mean, actually you do too.
Yes.
But you're not involved in any organized religion right now. I am. I'm very much a part of my church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really have awesome perspectives. One of the things that we want to talk about is some of the reality Utah TV shows, because it's on everyone's mind right now.
Like 100%.
The Real Housewives of Salt Lake is getting ready to start up again. And there is a new show. Tell me about the new show that's come out.
Oh yeah. So the new show that just dropped, it was on September 6th.
Okay.
And it is on Hulu. It's called The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Okay. And do you approve?
Like, in what way are you?
Like, do you like it? Are you a fan? Or is it just more like interesting?
I'm not a fan, I wouldn't say. I would interpret it as it's intriguing and it definitely does grab
So you think
attention.
It's going to have lots of viewers?
Oh, I think it already does.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
okay.
I'm seeing stuff on TikTok like every single day.
Oh my goodness.
Like it's almost every third scroll. I know that it like listens to,
what we're talking about. I swear. Yeah. There's an algorithm. It's listening to us. So tell me about the cast members of this show.
Yeah. So the first one to kind of know is Taylor Frankie Paul. She's the reason why the show kind of originated in the first place, because she created what's called Mom Talk. So it's all these TikTokers who are moms, and they all live in like Utah.
And they all kind of made a group.
Yeah. Which is basically a community of women just dance. Like, they don't really do much other than dance and like talk about their lives, like kind of like daily vlogging and stuff like that.
I think I've heard of them, and people just got involved in their lives. Yeah. Just wanted to know more about them. And so,
well, they got involved, and then she pulled out this like whole thing that she was a swinger.
No.
Oh, yes. Good. That's what happened. So she said that she was a swinger, and then like there were people that she was friends with that were also on TikTok, and they were saying that
she was swinging with them.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy.
What happened is that it blew up like on there, like she did it on a live, which is basically, if you can think of it as like you're doing like a FaceTime with somebody, like got a lot more impact of like that video of her saying
But so she actually gained followers from this.
I don't know if followers, but just people who wanted to know more.
Yeah. Okay.
Because another thing, another level of like why the show is called Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is like that a lot of them identify that they've been a part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or that they currently are. Okay. I can only attest that only one of them seems to truly be a part of the church.
Okay. So, but they're basing it in, they're adding the name. So it's like clickbait. Okay. Exactly. I got you. I got you.
But some of the other women that are on the show. So there's Michaela, Jessie, Layla, Demi, there's Whitney, and then there's two more, Macy. And then there's this girl named Jen Affleck. Not to be confused with J-Lo, you know, Jenny from the block.
She's not Jenny from the block.
No, she ain't no Jenny from the block, but she's cute. It was interesting, and this is something that I saw on a TikTok, is that all the women, like, when they, like, introduce or, like, they go to, like, saying, hey, this is, like, the person that we're going to be talking about in this, like, clip it.
Yeah.
The only person that has their full name in it is Jen Affleck.
That's interesting.
Whereas, like, everyone else is just, like...
Okay, they did that on purpose.
They did that on purpose because... I think they're trying to pull that she's, like, somehow related to Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, but she's not... They're like, just trying to get more clickbait.
Honestly, yeah.
Okay. So do you think this show is going to be around for a while? Like, do you think it's going to have a second season? What's the situation?
I think it has a lot of traction. I mean, it's been a week since it's like been posted and tons of people that are like saying things about it. Cause like, they're like, hey, like I, you know, am LDS or I grew up in the church and this is that and whatever. But a lot of people are talking about it.
It probably will be around.
But I mean, say, like, look at Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, it has that same, like, kind of, you know, message. Vibe. Yeah, it has that same message.
Like, people are curious. So it's going to be around.
I mean,
interesting.
I feel like, in a way, we do have, like, kind of a culture.
For sure, that people are definitely curious about. Yeah. I mean, I find that everywhere I go. And I did not grow up living in Utah. So
same.
I think I was probably even more of a curiosity to people because outside of Utah, we are few and far between. But especially ones who actually are involved and live it. There's a lot of people who are like, oh, I know a Mormon or I grew up Mormon, but I'm not involved anymore.
No,
you know, whatever. But yeah, so that is interesting. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's the gist of this show? Like, how is it, you know, relevant to what, did you like it? Like, what was your feel?
Which one?
The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Oh, okay. I mean, comparatively to like other things that have been in the media, I don't think it's like super off base from things, but I mean,
so you obviously feel like it was more accurate than like
Salt Lake City?
Yeah. Like, Real Housewives of Salt Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not to say that like they don't capture like anything that isn't real, but I'm just saying like, it's like, if you were to just say, hey, are they talking about like things that are what's specific in the church as somebody who used to be part of it? It's like, I mean, I think it's pretty fair. I don't think that it's all 100% accurate though, because it is television and it's heavily produced.
Let's talk about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake.
Yes.
Are you a fan?
I'm a fan of almost every single Real Housewives franchise, 100%. So Salt Lake, definitely. It's very interesting how they portray Salt Lake, though.
Yeah.
Because I've been to a lot of the places they do, and it's like they try and put it in this glamorous way.
Right. Like, we're not all wearing Prada and Gucci and showing up in our high heels
even the
to
places,
hang out and
like,
go skiing. Yeah.
Well, even like the restaurants they go to sometimes, I'm like, no, it's not like it's like super expensive, but they kind of make it kind of dream it up like in that way.
Yeah, they're glamorizing everything.
Yeah, they're glamorizing everything. But Utah is beautiful. So don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, the shots of the mountains and stuff, it is that beautiful. Yeah. It's even more beautiful in person.
But it's just not New York. So they've got to change a few things to make it seem more glamorous.
They have, I mean, with the new season coming out, they have 2 or 3 new housewives that they're introducing.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Well, I watched the other season, so I'm interested to see.
Yeah, you're new to all this.
Yeah, but I'm like newer to it. But I do, you know, I was interested so that we could talk about it and, you know, have some good conversations.
This last season that they did have got like almost the most ratings and views that like
out of Bravo, any of the Real Housewives.
Yeah, because they said that it reached almost, I think, 2 million views on the last, like, the season finale episode because they built it up so well. I mean, the producers is really good at, like, being like, oh, there's this big, like, thing. We don't know what it is. And then they, like, released it. And
do we want to spoil that for our viewers and tell them what it is? Or do we want to say, go watch it?
Go watch it.
Go watch it.
Okay. Go do it yourself. I think it's enjoyable and it's great trash reality television. 100%. Live it out.
Okay, I love that.
One thing that I was looking at on my TikTok that just came through my feed was a video of this like flood that was happening, which I believe it was in Venice.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because there was this waitress and she was walking like in the water. Yeah. And she's like, this is my job. This is what I have to do. But she's like, the water is like past her
knees.
No, not that
deep. Like calves.
No, not that deep.
Like ankles.
Yes. Body parts, please. Can I get a body part for 5?
Okay. You want a bell.
I want a bell. So she is walking and then like you see it pan out and there's just like people sitting down in the restaurant.
Well, Venice floods every year. Did you know that?
No.
So Venice floods every year. I guess it's like a certain time of year. I can't remember what it is, but I do know that in previous years, there have been worse years. So I do know it floods every year. And I know that some years they completely drain the canals and they clean them.
Well, so I can only imagine like how dirty it gets like in
I want to say that, you know, the canals have been around for a couple centuries, 3, 4, 5 centuries, right? So I do think that there probably has been some sanitation problems, but it's a really beautiful place to go visit.
You've been?
Yes. Can't say it's like my favorite place, but it's beautiful. Yeah.
Like there's nothing like it in the world.
No, nothing like it in the world.
Yeah. Because there's no transportation other than like getting on a boat or just walking across
bridges. There's water taxis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just
but there are parts of Venice that aren't around the canals. You know, there's like the canals, the main area, but
nobody has like cars. Are there like mopeds maybe?
Cause there's sidewalks and
well, they're not driving around in those streets.
No. But I think it's a very, very expensive city to live in and people are, you know,
but they have a lot of conveniences.
Yes.
Because I mean, everything's so close to them.
And I think it's more of a vacation town.
You know?
I mean, it's people touristy. Live in the outsides and they come in and work in Venice. Like any major city, people live above a store or whatever, but you know, some people also live outside the city. I think the beauty of Europe, honestly, for, you know, people that go over there and visit or people who live there is that you don't really have to own a car to get around. You can, most people live within, you know, a short distance of where they work. They ride the bus to work. They take subways or public transit. It's really a lot simpler. But when I was growing up, I did live in Germany for a brief amount of time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I remember I had a friend that lived in my village and her parents had been married probably 30 years and they were in their, you know, early 50s, late 40s. And she was my age. So I was about 17 and they were getting their first car. Her dad had worked for Mercedes-Benz his whole career.
And he didn't have a car and he worked for a car company.
They had never owned a car. And I remember asking her, oh, so is your dad going to drive to work every day? And she said, no, we're going to use it once a year to go on holiday. And I couldn't.
I think that's a waste of money for a car.
Right.
Like just to be oh, we're going to go on a trip for like maybe like 2 weeks or something.
No, but to Europeans, it's like they feel so blessed that they can take the bus to work, that they don't have to drive and they don't have to sit in traffic and that they can work on their commute, you know, while they're commuting. They can be on their computer or whatever. Yeah. They can relax and read a book or whatever. And usually it's a short commute. Some people take like a,
I guess,
5 to 10 minute bus ride.
Yeah. I could walk to my work. It'd take me like maybe like 20 minutes, but
yeah, that's not bad. I mean, or ride a bike like during the summer, you'd probably love that. You're super active, so it's not something you would be against, but
yeah, look at me go. Woo. Yeah,
I mean, but in America, I feel like everybody wants to own their own car. They want to own a couple cars. They want to live on an acre. Everyone's dream is to have their own home with a yard, and but Europeans, that's like a lot for them. They don't want to take care of all that. They want to live in a apartment building. They want to take a bus to work. It's about convenience. A lot of the grocery stores are in the bottom of buildings, you know, like they might live 3, 4, 5 stories up, and the flower shop, the grocery store, the bread store are in the bottom of their building. They buy enough groceries for one day.
Exactly.
Put them in their fridge.
Yeah. That's like how it is though in like San Francisco and New York, those bigger cities. Yeah. So they kind of have that adaptive like culture that Europe has. Yeah.
No, they do not shop at Costco there. They do not shop at Sam's Club.
They don't buy in bulk, y'all.
No, they do not buy in bulk. They do not even have refrigerators big enough. Although the refrigerators are now getting bigger. I did see a lot of full-size refrigerators in people's apartments, but they're still a lot smaller than what we would call a full-size refrigerator.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm interested in architecture, so I go on and do like international searches of other properties like real estate in like Europe or like Australia or wherever in the world. And their kitchens are weird. Like
the appliances are small.
They're so small. And like they'll have their washer in their kitchen.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Yeah. Because when they're building an apartment or anything like that, it's usually a compact size. They want to put all the plumbing in one central location. So that would be in the kitchen. And then the other side of the wall would be the bathroom. Right. Because you're usually going to have 1 to 2 bedrooms. So you're not going to have 3, 4 bedrooms like we have in America with, 2, 3 bathrooms. You're just not going to find that. So people can't afford that, and they need to live close to where they work because they're not going to own a vehicle. So it's pretty interesting. I have a great appreciation for that lifestyle because I lived over there.
Yeah.
But I also like the way we live in America,
Well, I definitely need to book a trip to not to Venice anytime soon, but definitely Europe in general.
Have you been to Europe?
Never in my life.
What? We need to go.
Okay, we'll take the podcast on the road then, I guess.
Yeah, maybe we will.
Well, overseas.
Maybe next year.
Okay.
That would be so fun. We should do that.
You'll see us 2025, and we'll be in... Where do you want to go?
I would love to go back to Paris. Paris has a flea market that is 10 blocks by 10 blocks. You would love it. You can buy anything that is made in Paris there.
Like anything. Isn't like Chanel, like anything.
Oh
like
yeah.
That?
Anything like, and sometimes it's kind of black market-ish. Like they'll remove the tags and you know what it is though. If you know that season's stuff, like perfumes with no label, but the bottle is totally shaped the same, but it's the real perfume. It's like factory cast offs or something wrong with the lid or
isn't like Louboutin's front, like Paris.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can buy imitation purses. You can buy I'm not promoting knockoffs, but I'm just saying you can buy the real thing there too. You can just go to the flea market and just, oh my gosh, the bread and the food is amazing. But I do love Paris. I really do. We just went to the Post Malone concert.
Yes, it was amazing. Like I enjoyed myself thoroughly.
I did not know you were such a big Postie fan.
Yeah, 100%. No, I love Post Malone.
I had more fun watching you sing every song. This man was on his feet the whole time, knew every word to every song. I literally got so much joy from your joy. It was contagious.
Thank you. No, I really did enjoy myself. And it was like a last minute thing, honestly. Like I was offered to go earlier in the week and then I was like, oh, I don't think I can do it. And then you were like, no, you need to come.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway, it was fantastic. Okay. What was your favorite part of the whole concert?
I really liked how he put a twist on a lot of his music.
Yeah.
That like was like his like good, like, you know, stuff from like where he wasn't in this like country era that he is now. Yes. Like I thought that was super intriguing and really like, I don't know. It was interesting to hear that sound because
he's so good. He's just so good. Okay. I just read an article because I went to the concert. Then I was kind of paying attention to things that in 2015, Post Malone tweeted that when he turned 30, he was going to go country. I just could not believe how
his voice is insane.
He transitioned and it was seamless. And during the concert, he was going back and forth between some of the new songs and some of the old songs. And every single person around us was like, knew every word and was singing everything. I was so like excited because that means people love him as much as we love him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think concerts in general bring people together. And that's what I really like about going to a concert is like
energy.
It's the energy. You can't, so good. You really can't feel it anywhere else. I've been to quite a bit of concerts in my life and I just really feel like they really energize me. They make me feel like different about my life. And like, I like self-reflect. It truly is like a self-reflection.
Yes.
Like it's like Post Malone, like for like years, he was just trying to like make it in music. And then
he's just a kid.
And then he made it, you know? Yeah. And so it's like, it's really inspirational.
And the way that he was so gracious about every single person that co-wrote songs with him, the way he said, hey, you guys know this guy that co-wrote this song with me. He's so, such a beautiful human. And every single time he talked about another person that wrote a song with him, he just like, he loves people. You can tell he enjoys people and appreciates them.
Danny, what was your favorite part of the whole concert?
My absolute favorite part was after he played a song, he was upset at himself because he forgot to ask if anyone in the audience knew the chords of the song he had played. And he said, if you would have known the chords and I knew it, I would have asked someone to come up and play with me. But he's like, I forgot to ask that. So does anyone know the chords? And I guess this young man in the front raised his hand and he said, you know what? I'm so sorry. I forgot to ask you, but I'm going to give you all of my guitar picks. And he walked down into the audience and gave this kid like 6 guitar picks that he had hanging on the microphone. And I just thought that was like the sweetest thing. And then he took a picture with them and got back on the stage and everyone just started chanting Post, 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 Posty, Posty. And he started dancing and pretending like it was like a song. It was cute. Like he didn't say, no, no, everybody calm down. I'm going to move on now. He just like enjoyed his moment without making it about him. I just feel like some celebrities don't, they get to that point where they're so famous that they actually stop appreciating the fans that got them there, you know?
Oh yeah.
And I just felt like that's not who he is. So, okay. So he was just on the Video Music Awards. Did you watch any of them?
Like the VMAs?
Yes.
I've seen clips from TikTok. I mean, that's mostly where I get kind of like my information from things. But I heard that Taylor Swift came in and like took the house.
7 awards. She got 7 awards, including Video of the Year. There were 3 young artists that I think everybody needs to watch for. It was Tate McRae, Sabrina Carpenter, and what's the other one?
Oh, and then Chaperone.
Okay, so Chaperone came out and she was dancing and she was dressed like a knight. And
yes,
it was like,
it was so iconic.
Yeah.
Not really gonna lie. Amazing. No, it was really good. And I think she's a very underrated artist for quite a long time. She's been in the music industry for a while, I think. So
people said it was like a moment where people are going to look back and go, oh, I remember her from the VMAs and now she's famous.
Oh, yeah. She had fire. Everyone, like she was dancing with knights in full on like knight suit armor. So she was really giving it her all. But the VMAs is one of the top award shows that people are a lot more creative with it, right? Because they have a lot more of that artistic ability to kind of showcase
their music. Because they come on and they perform during them.
But it's not like the Grammys or the Oscars.
More creativeness involved.
Like you can be a little bit campy and creative on how you want to present your set. A lot of people really, really did like Katy Perry and her.
I heard she performed like so many themes.
All of her great hits. Yeah.
Wow. She's such a great performer. And she really like takes the show, I think.
100%.
She just really has had so many hits that everybody is so recognizable. Can we talk a minute about Beyonce? Because she got nominated for 3 awards, didn't take any of them.
Yeah. But I think it's because people don't expect her to be there.
Yeah.
She's got like better things to do. She has kids, you know what I'm saying?
She never goes to award shows, right?
Very rarely. I mean, in the early 2000s she did, but that was when she was like first with Jay-Z and like it was just her and Jay-Z, you know?
Yeah.
And that was kind of the thing like in the early 2000s that you kind of did is like, it's an event, you need to go.
I was actually shocked Katy Perry was there because she just had a baby, right? She's like a year old or something.
But she's a different breed of person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I feel she's like
the ultimate performer. She wants to perform.
Beyonce is a person that I believe, and this is just where I've seen interviews of her and then like how she is on stage. I do not think it's a persona thing. Whereas like when she's on stage, she's performing as Beyonce.
So
like,
people were saying this album that she just created that she was nominated for three times is so in between. It's not like, it's not rock. It's not, it's like,
well, it's like very country.
Yeah. It's country, but it was kind of like also a little bit pop. And so maybe she didn't have, she needs to grow her audience in that genre and then she'll get there. But because she is not going to show up and they know that they want the artists that they know are going to be there because they want them to perform. And well, so they think that that might be the only reason.
Well, she they want them to like say like the speech and say, hey, like I want to recognize, you know, or say whatever piece that they want to say about like the art that they made. But I mean, Cowboy Carter, I believe was kind of an offshoot of like anything that Beyonce's ever done as an album. She says that she's like from Texas. Like that's something that you do know about Beyonce. So it's she's trying to say, hey, I am like a Texas girl. And that's what this, I think the album was supposed to give, but it wasn't to the extent of like what everyone else is doing. Cause I really do think other people have putting out stuff that's a lot like heavily produced that makes sense for their brand.
There's a niche and this is not really her niche. She's trying to break into it, but okay. So at the end, LL Cool J and Lenny Kravitz closed it. My gosh, both iconic.
Very much so.
Like
yeah.
amazing performers.
Lenny Kravitz is like,
wow. Would you not have wanted to be there live? I can't even imagine. LL Cool J. Like I just remember him from my childhood. Like he's one of the,
He's iconic. I guess from your generation.
It sounds like literally it was an amazing show. So I'm like super sad. I couldn't go to that one. Too bad. Someone invite me please next year.
Next year. Yeah.
At the conclusion of each episode, we aim to highlight a business or charity. If you would like to have your organization featured on our podcast, please reach out to us via email or direct message on Instagram. One of the partners they would love to talk about today is the Bee Partner.
Yes, you were telling me about them and how they are about bettering the environment by helping people in their local communities by introducing bee housing, right?
Yeah, bee colonies. It is so amazing. They will do a fourth of a hive. You can do a fourth of a hive. You can do a half a hive. You can do a full hive. But they will basically take care of this hive in your name and bring you the honey.
Dang, you get some honey with that?
You get honey. Unfortunately, 40% of the bee population in our nation has declined over the last decade. And because
if you've ever seen the Bee Movie, that's problematic.
Yes, is big problem.
That's educational. Don't tell me it's not.
Such a cute movie.
But it really does show that it's like they are a huge like builder of like how we have like food. Like generally, like it's like if without them, we wouldn't be like able to really have a good.
Oh, our ecosystem really revolves around bees, and people don't understand that like when flowers get pollinated and, you know, that flower turns into a vegetable or a fruit or whatever. Yeah. We are feeding people. That's so when the bee population goes down, plants are not growing as well. Things are not doing as well.
Exactly.
So we want to bring those bees back, but they lose their habitat because of climate change, air pollution, pesticides, parasites, different kind of diseases. And so what these people do is they will set up a hive in your name. They will come and set them on your property. If you don't have property, they will just do it and they'll bring you the honey. You can get 50 pounds of honey a year from a full hive. And you know, like it's so good for allergies. It's so good for your body. It has a natural antibodies and antibacterial and antiviral properties.
Aren't they local here in Utah, right?
Yes.
So they're in Salt Lake City, Sandy, West Valley, American Fork, Provo, and Orem. So living in those areas and then having the honey harvested in that area is going to help your immune system.
Yeah, and
a
it
lot
helps
with
your,
like
allergies
too. So it's like you're going to, like if you're sick, it's better to have honey that is locally sourced in your area versus like the store bought kind.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that's artificially made. It's not actual honey. It's like it's like a bunch of sugar.
Like corn syrup mixed with some honey that used to be honey a long time ago before they added all these additives. And this is pure honey.
And guess what? It'll last you forever. So don't even like worry about it spoiling. That's another thing.
They went into the pyramids in Egypt and there was still honey.
Yeah.
That was usable. So it crystallizes. Honey crystallizes, but there are ways to reliquify it and you can still use, it's still usable. So
get that 50 pounds of honey every year.
Yeah.
And just save it.
Yeah.
You never know when you may need it.
Yeah. It doesn't go bad. Like you can save it forever. People are like, 50 pounds. What would I do with that? Give it to your neighbors. Give it to your friends.
It's a great gift.
Doing this for my kids and my grandkids. But what I want to say about them is they are helping our environment. People like, you can do this and you don't even have to take the honey. If you tell them, okay, I just want to pay you to make beehives around this area, around the Salt Lake Valley, it is literally helping farmers, businesses. It's just doing so much for our world. Please help save the bees. So if you guys are interested in being a bee partner, go to www.thebeepartner.com. And look at what they do. If you're interested, they can come and put it on your property. They can help you understand how to care for them. But they send you videos. They will show you how your bees are doing. Yeah. They're really, really amazing company. So anyway, I'm all about bees. My dad kept bees when I was growing up. And that's, you know, cool. What? I didn't have any allergies then.
Yeah.
Suddenly I have allergies now.
Wrapping up our first episode, we do want to just kind of give a little bit of what to expect in the episodes to come. If you want us to share our perspective on one of your stories, please DM us on Instagram at everyones.perspective.pod or just everyone's perspective. And then you can also email us. It will be tagged in our Instagram bio.
And thank you everyone for listening today. We hope you enjoyed it. And we look forward to hearing from you guys and bringing out another episode next week.
Yep. It'll be exciting. Mm-hmm.